888-349-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
If I sound a little funny today, it's because I just before I came over to work, I was at my house, and we had the sink, the cover to the sink was off, and I was trying to fix a little hot water faucet that we have, and I found cockroaches up in there. Cockroaches are a vile, disgusting thing, and like the wasp. Remember when I was having battles with wasps last summer, and I actually shorted out the entire lighting system for my backyard trying to get rid of a wasp nest? Well, the cockroach is a vile, foul, disgusting thing that if I could, I would take a blowtorch to it, but I, you know, it'd burn my house down. So what I did have, I had ant and roach spray. My wife doesn't like it. I understand. I get it. It's toxic. Yes, I know. You know, my wife is like so many women nowadays. Like so many people. I should say so many women. So many people are very holistic. They're very into the organic. They're very into the very purified thing. They want to as a wholesome a manner as they can deal with life. They don't want poisons and toxins and chemicals and things. But sometimes that's really what you need. Now, I am a man who, I've tried to clean my act up in my life, but sometimes you got to get yourself a can of roach spray. And you just have to do battle with these things with a foul, polluting, toxic mess like Raid. Because I still remember with great fondness, as a child, turning the TV on and seeing those marvelous commercials, Raid! Remember the bug would freak out? God, I love that. Because the bug knew Raid was in town, and a big can of Raid looking like Superman coming through the door. Raid! Oh, they were scared to death, and why would... And then they'd have the little graves of the bugs floating to heaven. God, that was great. So today, I sprayed the crap out of these cockroaches, and the fumes entered my dwelling, the kitchen in our home, to the point where I left and came to work, but first I stopped to get a sandwich over at Togo's. And as I'm standing at the counter at Togo's, guy says, yes, sir, can I help you? Yeah. I'm sounded like Elmer Fudd. This dude, I took my dry cleaning to the laundry, and I said, well, I need these shirts by tomorrow because I'm going out to dinner. And he said, yes, sir, if you dry clean them, we can have them for you by tomorrow. And I go, yeah, that's the ticket. This is the way I'm talking. And the microwave went off at Togo's in such a manner so as to scared me a little bit, like my nerves were on edge, like maybe the Raid creeped into my central nervous system. The kid kept looking at me, want everything on that sandwich, sir? Yeah. I was like Porky Pig. And then the guy says to me, do you want a bag of chips? That's all, folks. I mean, I didn't know what to say. I said, yeah, I'll take the bag of Lay's. The only thing I could trace it to was this can of Raid that I did battle with the cockroaches. It's the stuff's bad for you. There's no doubt about it. So I open the windows in the house, and I try to air it out, and they try to scent it up. You know, they give it a perfume scent. Yeah. Okay, great. The cyanide gas smells like lilac. Super. Because it really reeks, and it can... And over the years, I think I've gotten more paranoid over those things. I used to do it... When I was in high school, I did a lot of lawn jobs and odd jobs. That was my thing in high school. That's how I made money. And I worked for this old-timer one time. This guy lived up in Pasadena, and he wanted me to saw tree limbs. I wanted to get rid of these limbs off this tree. So I'm up the ladder, and he says, Aaron, I'll tell you something, Phil, you do some of this here bug spray, too, you know? He's down there in his bathrobe. He's about 72 in his bathrobe with one of those old-time cans of those old-time spray pumps that they used to use with the big bottle of juice underneath it. Who knows what, who knows what was in this thing, right? And I'm up there, I'm sawing these tree limbs going, yes, sir, Mr. Brown, what, you ought to use this spray, that'll hell, I'd get rid of all that bugs up there, that's what, GD sure. No doubt about that. Say what you want for lunch, son. Well, anything you want, Mr. Mason, is fine with me. Okay, well, let me just go spray off these bugs now. And he goes off around the corner, and the next thing I know, he's laying flat on his back, OD'd on bug spray. The old man was, and the wife is screaming, and the ambulance comes. I didn't know. I was still sawing these tree limbs. What did I know? I'm 15, and the old guy, he OD'd on some bug spray that he created in his laboratory, in his tool shed. What is up with those sheds that the old folks used to have? When I was growing up, there were sheds up behind their houses. I used to creep around these old people's backyards that lived around in our neighborhood, and I'd find sheds and wooden structures and, like, just like a funeral pyre with an infant's body on. No, I'm kidding about that. No, but I'd find, you know, preserves, that whole putting up the preserves thing. Why's it got to be outside? Put it in the house. You're giving me the creeps. I'd find jars of, it looked like, I might as well be in Frankenstein's laboratory. It's like baby brain or something. Just ghoulish things. These old people would, I've got to put up my preserves. Yeah, I understand. That's code for I've got to go can some kid's brain. I've got to go put, mind your dress, missy. You know, and they'd go out back with little Mother Goose shoes and they'd put up their preserves. Yeah, Roger. They scooped out some kid's brain and put it into a jar. But that's the way it is when you're a kid. You always suspect elderly people of nefarious and murderous intent, don't you? Why? Why is it as children we suspect the old people, the elderly people, of murderous, cannibalistic intent? Starting with Hansel and Gretel, but working its way back from there. Every old person that ever lived around me, all I could ever think of was they wanted to eat me or hurt me. Or can my brain something, man? Maybe I was watching too much December Bride, I Love Lucy. I don't know what it was. You know, it's one thing if you go through life smelling like pee. It's another thing you're going to be eating kids' brain. But that's what I thought anyway. Hey, Mom. What? The old man next door. I think they're canning brains. Yeah, it's great. Why don't you go check on it? Okay. Off I'd go. We had two old people live next door to us when I was growing up in Arcadia. They were the greatest people, Harley and Freddie Hughes. They were great. They seriously were great. I would play basketball in the morning. The old man never... I said, Mr. Hughes, I hope I'm not waking you up. No, no, I... And this is the way he sounded every morning. Oh, yeah, that got it. Every morning. And then I'd be bouncing my ball, and I'd be sure. I said, Mr. Hughes, I hope I'm not. No, I love to hear young people bouncing the blow. Hold on for a minute. So, you know, he was cool, and then he and his wife, his name was Harley, and she was Freddie, they would say to my folks, do you want to come to Vegas with us this weekend? And my parents would say, well, how bad can it be? They're like 80, right? My dad got back from Vegas one weekend, and he was white as a ghost. And he immediately went to the cabinet and poured himself like three fingers of bourbon and just... And I said, what happened, Dad? He said, he did 90 all the way there. 95, I can't, help me. And he just collapsed. Apparently, this old guy, Harley Hughes, he got into his 1956 Buick, the two-tone job, which is in mint condition because every 3,000 miles, I get the oil changed, get the plugs changed. Yeah, okay, great. Good for you. And they did all the way up 50, I don't know what it was in those days to get to Vegas. He did like 90, 100 miles an hour all the way. Just scared the crap out of my old man. Ruined three pairs of pants going up there. 80 years old. This is crap about these old people driving slow. This guy was going, well, then the day came. She died. Freddie died. And I'm like, you know, 8 or 9 or 12 or however. I said, geez, that's really too bad. Miss Hughes died. Yeah, she's croaked. Well, that's too bad. So then I started getting into my head that the place was haunted. There was no reason to believe that. There was the old man was still living there. But because I was 9 and an old lady died next door, it's got to be haunted. So now, on top of everything else, I lead my friends on expeditions through the backyard at like 8 o'clock at night, creeping around. And there's the poor old guy who's in there. He's lost his wife, and he's got these kids running through his yard who think his house is haunted. No wonder he died like 3 weeks later. She croaked. I went spooking through his house, and then he said, screw it. He took an overdose of pills. I don't know what he did, but he died. No, he didn't OD. He just died. I mean, that's what happens to old folks. They croak. One goes, the other one goes, man. It's the way it goes. You know how it goes. All right, anyway, 1-800, gee, that was kind of a maudlin note, wasn't it? Let me get back to scooping out kids' brains and putting them into jars. So anyway, I know this one kid. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Oh, yeah, and then I got another thing here. There's this weekly newspaper in town that's been, like, almost going out of business for years. And they wrote some horrific things about me that were complete and utter lies. I mean, they libeled me. They libeled my wife. I don't want to get into it. But now, one of their columnists, the very guy that said all this stuff about me, now he's a big fan of my show. Janice said this. She said, you're going to really laugh at this. So she printed this off. Now the guy really digs me. I just love it, man. I love it. I first got to L.A., And I went on the air with our show, and the prediction was that we would fail miserably, and that it was, you know, everybody thought they had this show figured out. And we didn't get any good ink. We didn't get any good reviews. Everybody said we would be gone within 3 months, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever. And it's just interesting to see one at a time how all of these guys just come over to the dark side. Now all they think, oh, what a great guy. What a genius I am. Yeah, Roger, I'm such a freaking genius that I'm flying on raid right now. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I'm Phil Hendry. I do the voices of all the characters. On yesterday's show, Don Fordman was on talking about how visiting prostitutes was humiliating for him, and therefore he couldn't pay his child support, and his daughter had scurvy as a result. Here is what we had.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
I just can't believe what I'm hearing. I think this is just completely ridiculous. I'm sorry, sir, but I just don't buy into this. The entire reason that you have this phobia is because you never paid enough attention to your family, and get, maybe if you would have helped
right now,
your wife out a little bit, you wouldn't have had to pay for sex
my
and
wife
ended
too
up
busy.
This way.
She's too busy to have sex with me.
Well, I don't buy that, sir. I'm sorry, but when you're in a marriage, you have a commitment. If she was busy with your children, maybe you should have helped her out more, and she would have been more willing to.
How come you all of a sudden you make it my problem? See, this is typical
it
of women.
It is your
this
problem,
is typical,
sir.
No,
this
but you
all
make it my
stems
fault.
From you not being there for your family. You complain now that you're not able to provide for your child. But
right.
You started this by being a person who went looking for a prostitute.
Because
I think
my
this is
wife would not because
for your
my wife wouldn't
family.
Give it because my wife wouldn't give it to me. I had to go to a prostitute.
Oh, you know, that is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard of. You had to go
well, ma'am,
looking
you know
for
that women do.
Because your wife was too busy. In turn, this has all happened to you, and now your child has scurvy.
Yeah,
and
your
you
daughter.
Can't work because you have some ridiculous phobia. So you really should get a life.
Ma'am, I can tell you that when I have a phobia, when I do see things in the paper like Gobbler's Knob or the Space Needle.
You sound to me as if you've got a phobia that is really locking your brain up a little bit.
I don't doubt that. But
well,
at,
I'm
the,
sorry,
the,
but you
what do you mean the Rockies? What
program? If you cannot get a job for something as ridiculous,
I can't
as
go get a job.
Well, if you don't get a job, your daughter is starving.
Don't you think I know that? Don't you think I know my daughter?
Don't you think it's important enough to go out and get over this? This is absolutely completely preposterous.
See, right now, Mr. Henry, this is painful for me because the way this woman is talking is the exact way my wife talks.
Well,
it's
sir,
an
she
accusatory
deserves to
tone.
Talk to you like that. Look what you have done to her, and look what you have done to your child now. And this hurts me, and I don't even know you, that you are doing this to your children.
What are you doing?
It's painful for me to have her accuse me like this.
Well, what? How do you suppose that you're going to get over this, sir, if your last step in a 12-step program is to get rid of a prostitute? What are the other steps? To feel sorry for yourself every day and not propose to get any kind of job at all because you can't go out because some sign that says Jackson Hole makes you feel inadequate?
Ma'am, what we do is role play in our group.
Well,
the
sir, you need to role play that.
How do you role
play? You're not helping yourself at all at this moment.
I am trying
obviously.
To get past it, but when I open up the newspaper and I see guys.
How about don't read the newspaper?
Gobbler's Knob. Or I see Jackson Hole. What we do is we role play in our organization.
Tell me about role playing. What is that?
One will pretend he's the prostitute. The other will be the man, and we will pretend as if we're having intimate relations without exchanging money.
How is that?
How does that help you, Don? Stay with us, okay?
Yes, sir. We pretend as if we're having sex without exchanging money. We also show slides of the things that we fear, of the Space Needle.
All right, so you're showing slides of the Space Needle and what else?
Of Jackson Hole and Gobbler's Knob. And then we help ourselves through that transitional period where it's all right to have sex without exchanging money, but it doesn't do no good if your wife won't give it up. See?
I'm sorry, sir. I don't.
Yeah,
I don't.
And the
slideshow
of what? Of the leading?
Of the pyramid, of the Sphinx.
What is sexual about the pyramids?
Okay, so you've never seen...
I've never seen what? Stay with us.
Have you seen those 1950s-style brassieres?
You mean those like, bullets?
Yeah.
So let me get this right. When you see the pyramids, it reminds you of, like, Janet Leigh, whatever her name is, in a bra?
Yes, sir.
And how does that make you feel inadequate?
Because what's that supposed to mean? In other words, the pyramids are there telling me that I can't get a woman?
Oh, my.
Oh, come on, man. The pyramids weren't built to tell you can't get a woman. The pyramids were built to bury a pharaoh in.
See the way she laughs?
I'm sorry.
See the way
sir,
she laughs?
I really think you need way more than a 12-step program at this point.
Ma'am,
I said to you, Don, a doctor.
No, not a 12-step support group so that I can open up the paper and I can see.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gobbler's knob and be all right. I just want to be all right, and I just want to feed my daughter. And
sir, go out and get a job. Get some money. Your daughter's got scurvy. Do you understand?
Yes, I do. No one is more aware of that. But then the Leaning Tower of Pisa is more, what is that,
oh,
more
no.
accurate? What's that? Say I said Leaning Tower of Pisa, and she's already making a comment.
I don't, because I think it's ridiculous. I think this is
You're making a comment about
ridiculous.
My sexuality.
You obviously have some psychological problems that need counseling in another way besides a 12-step program, because at this point, you're going to be dealing with this problem for the rest of your life, and your daughter may die. How do you like that?
Please don't say that.
Well, do you think that maybe you should come to the realization that your problem that you have right now may lead to that?
You got
to
go.
No way are you fixing the problem?
You're paralyzed, and you need to go to a doctor to get out of your house. And
no, the doctors are the old cure. The new way.
No, but your support group isn't helping you, man. You're going in once a week. You guys are role-playing having sex with each other with slides of the pyramids and the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
You are...
I'm sorry, okay? I don't mean to laugh. Then you tell me Groundhog Day is sexually humiliating. Didn't you say that?
No, I did not. No, I did not.
What did you say?
I said that the place where the groundhog comes out, Gobbler's Knob.
What's sexually humiliating about Gobbler's Knob?
Oh, please.
So have you ever been diagnosed with Tourette's or schizophrenia or anything like that that maybe you think you should address at this point? Because it sounds to me
I have a Tourette's,
and everything else that you've got other conditions going on here.
I have a pre-Tourette's.
Well, yes, you have pre-Tourette's, dude.
And obviously that needs some addressing, and that needs a doctor
to
do that.
Please listen to me. And I forgot the lady's name.
Her name's Susie.
My name is Susie.
Okay. You don't see what I'm saying about Gobbler's Knob.
No, sir, I do not.
Oh,
I don't see what you're saying about anything.
Come on.
I don't understand it at all. And I just
I don't
really
either. What is it about Gobbler's Knob?
Sit on your ass and not take care of your family.
Yeah, Gobbler's Knob is a gobbling knob. See?
I'm sorry. See? I think that's just ridiculous.
And the groundhog going in and out of the hole. What's that supposed to mean?
It sounds to me like you have a sexual fetish. Is what it sounds like.
No, ma'am. All I want is normal sex with a woman that I don't have to pay for.
Well, at this point, no one is going to give you that.
I will tell you this, and I'm paying you a compliment when I say this. You'd make a lousy prostitute.
Well, guess what?
Okay.
That would be good for me because I wouldn't be with men like you.
But why? Because I can't say...
Why? Because you're just completely inadequate as a man, as a father, and as a person.
You're not paying your child support, your daughter has scurvy, and you can't say Gobbler's Knob. I've talked to a lot of people in my life, sir. You've got some serious, serious problems.
And, okay, so it doesn't make sense that I'm sexually humiliated by Groundhog Day.
No, of course it doesn't.
Susie?
No, I agree. It's ridiculous.
I don't get it.
Why would it make sense that you're sexually humiliated by Groundhog Day?
I feel sorry for your husband not knowing about the groundhog thing.
Phil Henry. Flashback.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And all NFL picks during the past NFL season on the Phil Hendry Show, as you know, were done by Joe Dickhead and his associate, the professor. Go to our website, philhendryshow.com, to find out who Joe Dickhead picks to win the Super Bowl. Not only does he pick the winner, he picks the final score. I think you're going to be shocked. I think you're going to be amazed. Joe Dickhead and the professor pick who wins the Super Bowl on our website, philhendryshow.com, P-H-I-L-H-E-N-D-R-I-E, show.com. Jack, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Hey, Swift.
Hello?
Yeah, you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's up?
I just wanted to tell you that Gobbler's Knob thing the other day was hilarious.
Thank you.
I deliver pizza at night, and it keeps me rolling.
Uh-huh.
So keep up the good work, man.
Yeah, I know. Richie, hi.
How you doing, Phil?
Good, man.
First time for me to get through to you guys. You guys are the best. I have a question. Why? Whatever happened to that character, that black guy who used to what's the word I'm looking for? He was like touting like the Planet of the Apes as a great movie. Remember that guy?
No, I don't. Anthony, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Good, sir.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know that, and we love our beloved Phil Hendry. Just wondering, do you ever make any tour stops, or do you just stick around the LA area?
Tour stop.
Yeah,
I make tour stops, and I also have my Rush to Excellence tour, and and also I'm my kid's mom.
Oh, right. All
right.
One package.
All right,
pal. All right, take care.
We'll do it, man. See ya. I see. I'm doing tour stops now, and I got my Ditto heads, and I got my Dr. Laura mugs. So we got it all going on here on the Phil Hendry Show. I love that. I'm going to go on a tour stop. By the way, speaking of Rome, as long as this is Super Bowl week, we'll just slip in a Jim Rome reference. I thought it was interesting. Jim had Jim Everett on his TV show about 10 years ago, and he called him Chrissy Everett, right? He called him Chrissy Everett, and apparently Jim Everett, the quarterback, former quarterback of the L.A. Rams, New Orleans Saints, San Diego Chargers, apparently he got upset, and this became a big piece of news that Jim was baiting him by calling him Chris Everett. Became huge news. I get sued for $15 million by a member of the National Football League, and nobody knows about it. $15 million I got hit with a lawsuit by a player from the National Football League. Now let me put that in perspective. I didn't call somebody Chrissy. I got sued for $15 million for whatever it is I was supposed to have done. And that went on for years. But because I'm on radio, nobody knows jack about it. You get yourself a TV show, everybody finds out. So I got to make a segue at some point into television. That way, I get a little notoriety, the price goes up, and I'm set for my retirement, which I am now clocking at about the age of 57. I'm going to be 50 next year, 7 more years, and then I am gone. The exhaust hasn't even settled in the parking lot, and I'm gone. $15 million, I'll never forget that. And let me tell you something. I have no illusions about players in the National Football League. I love the game. I love to watch it. It's entertaining. But I don't think those monkeys, and you heard what I said, I don't think those monkeys, beyond the fact that they know how to play football, have got anything to offer anybody having to do with anything. And I will not comment on what the lawsuit was about. I was asked, and I can't. It was part of the terms of the settlement. But I'm going to tell you this much. Outside of playing football, National Football League players, they got to send a search party out to find out what exactly these guys are good for. I don't know. There's the odd occasion when one of them is pretty good as a color commentator on television, and I could count on one hand, and by the way, after throwing a hand grenade in Vietnam, I only have 3 fingers on that one hand, so I could count on one hand the number of former professional football players that I enjoy as commentators on the National Football League games. Now, I would say Madden is one of them. Madden's not a former player, by the way, he's a former coach. Summerall, I only like Summerall because he's lasted this long. He's 71. I used to hate him. I couldn't stand him. But now he's 71. He's lasted a long time. I suppose he's venerable. What other players? I can't think of anybody. I suppose Phil Simms keeps his mouth shut. I like Phil Simms because he just talks about the game, and that's it. And then I would have to say the next guy that I would give 14 cents worth of my time to, maybe, no, it ain't Dan Fouts. Forget that. Maybe it would be Randy Cross. I think he's got a couple of things to say. The rest of them are bozos. And I don't care who you're talking about, whether it's Howie Long, Chris Kaw, all those guys that think they're witty and charming and funny and insightful, they're imbeciles. They're just imbeciles. Now, am I bitter? Am I angry? I don't know. I suppose you can say that all of those things are thrown. I have a right to my feelings about this thing, don't I? I was personally involved in a very debilitating entanglement, shall we say, with a National Football League player, and no, it wasn't sexual. It was a legal entanglement, and it left me with a very, very pointed distaste for any and everything having to do with the NFL, other than the game that they play. But the players, and I remember I auditioned for a television show on Fox. It was a TV show that's on right now, and I was auditioning to be the host of the show, and I had to sit there with a couple of these guys, former players who are now witty, quote-unquote, guys that used to play, and now they're, quote, really funny, end quote. And it was all I could do to sit in the same room with them. Seriously, it was all I could do to sit in the same room with them without just ripping them. I mean, without just, and it wouldn't take much. You sit in the same room with those muscle heads, and you could rip them an ass in 10 seconds, go out, have a sandwich and a cigarette, come on back in, and they're still bleeding, and you still got 29 minutes left to go. That's how completely unfunny, uninteresting, and just stop me if I'm really beginning to... That's how unfunny and uninteresting and completely ill-equipped and unqualified to be in my business. See, this is broadcasting. This is what I do. Call it what you want. I've given 28 years of my life to it. I'm not putting on pads and going out onto a football field. I'd look like an ass. I'd look as stupid as some of those jocks who come into a broadcast booth look when they try to go from being a football player to a broadcaster. I would look that stupid. But what these guys do is they come off a football field, they park their big ape meatheads behind a microphone or a camera, and suddenly I'm supposed to accept them into the ranks of broadcasters. In other words, they're my colleague. Never. Never. Now, all these other schmucks that are just trying to rub a couple of nickels together to get them to mate and try to make a living, maybe they want to sit there and go, boy, it really is nice talking to you, Mr. Montana. It's really great, you know, and you're really, boy, you're one of us. You ain't never going to be one of us. I don't care if they put 18 pounds of pancake makeup on your ape face and try to make you into some kind of a broadcaster. You're never going to be in the same league with me or the people that I came up with. I gave almost 30 years of my life to this business. I know guys have been in this business their whole lives. I'm talking about sportscasters as well as talk show hosts or anything else you want to talk about. You apes will never be in our class. You're a monkey that somebody put a freaking earpiece in your ear, tell you what to say, tell you what questions to ask. Here, you look at that camera there, okay, Butch? Attaboy. They throw you a banana, and then you're off the air. And I don't care how funny Terry Bradshaw was in Cannonball Run. You know, that good old farm boy act kind of wears thin, especially those AT&T commercials he's doing with the whole, well, look at that there, there's a dollar bill. You know, something we used to do on the farm, Terry, had to do with you bending over that barrel. Attaboy, now let me just take my belt off. Hey, hi there, buddy. I'm Terry Bradshaw. Well, it's going up the river now. Time for deliverance. Go spanking some guy in the rear end, man. Tell him, you're pretty. So, that's fine. You got everybody else shucked and jive. Everybody is going to sit there and listen to what Howie's got to say and all these guys. That's great. Fine. I get to have my opinion. That's my opinion. I'm not impressed at all. And as far as I'm concerned, I think you guys have stunk this business up. I liked it better when it's just a ball game. Have the guy call it. It's done. Great. I'm gone. just because we got to keep you guys in a job doesn't mean we got to invent 18 million different sports talk shows now. They got 85 billion sports talk shows. You want to know why? Because some joker that just left the NFL needs a job. So we'll give them a sports talk show. We'll sit them down with a real broadcaster, some guy that might even have actually have some broadcast credentials. Maybe he even got a degree in it. Sit him down next to that guy, pay him 18 times more than the other guy, and listen to him spout his apisms. And then as his knuckles drag on the floor while he walks out of the studio, toss a couple bananas at him, and there you go. And I bet you guys think I've been going on for 15 minutes talking this way, referring to black players. No, I can't think of one black broadcaster that I don't like. I can't think of one black broadcaster that I like. I can't think of any black broadcasters. I'm talking about the white boys. So this weekend, who is it? Is it Fox? Is that who's doing the game? What does that mean? That means Pat Summerall and what's-his-face, right? Well, Summerall's retiring. Madden's cute. At least Madden understands that he's nothing more than a clown. And this is what they have to understand. Do one of two things. Understand that you're a clown and clown it, okay? But don't try to pretend like you're a journalist. Just go out there, clown it up, because that's all that football is. That's all that baseball is. It's all that hockey is. It's all that professional entertainment, including this program. It's about 3 hours of attempting to kill your boredom long enough so you don't put a bullet through your head or beat your kids, or it gives you something to do while you're driving home. And that's it. A National Football League game is no different than a Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey circus come to town. Instead of the monkeys and all of the apes and all of the gorillas running out into the three rings, football players do. And instead of the ringmaster, it's a coach. And instead of an organ grinder with a monkey on a string, it's a kicker or whatever. It's the same thing, though, man. You toss a couple of bucks at some guy, he gives you a ticket, you go in, you sit down, you decide whether you like it or not. And it turns out we actually happen to like the product that the NFL delivers on the field. The minute you guys start, when they put a microphone in your faces, and they put a little tie on you, and they put a little pancake makeup on you, and suddenly, you know, you're a broadcaster. Says who? Did you hear that? I did not fart. That was my stomach growling. All right. 1-800-4- please believe me. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
And now, the foremost conservative talk show host in America, Colonel Buck Negro, is on the air.
Thank you very much, Bill Whittingham. Thank you, everybody. This is Colonel Buck Negro, and let's get to it. Our number, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. People say, why do you listen to the Buck Negro Show? Well, let me tell you why. Because I will not be argued off my position. Yeah, a lot of people that do talk shows, they just try to make everybody happy, but not Buck Negro. I'm going to tell you how it is, how I feel about it, and buddy, you better come loaded for bear, because I am ready to rock and roll. And that's what we're ready to do today. At 1-800-449-8686. The Buck Negro Show, this is one man's opinion. I will not be moved. He will not be moved. All right, it's 53 after the hour right now. Get some phone calls. First of all, I want to sound off on the Saudi Arabian authorities telling our fighting men and women, specifically our women, because our men aren't wearing veils, last I checked, telling our women that they are not allowed to walk down the streets of Saudi Arabia unless they're dressed up in their medieval Islamic garb. Let me tell you something, Mr. Saudi Arabian Emirate Sheikh. Buck Negro says, that our fighting men and women, our fighting women, should be allowed to go wherever they feel like without wearing those insufferable medieval garb. How dare you tell the women of our armed forces who are there defending your country that they can't dress the way they want to dress? Let's reset.
A buck Negro reset.
I believe that our American fighting women should never have to put on those veils. Go ahead. Go ahead. Try and take me on that issue. 1-800-449-8666. 1-800-449-8666. Let's go to Harry. Harry in Chicago. Go ahead, Harry.
Hi, Buck.
How you doing?
Real good. Your show is the best, but I do want to say one thing, sir. I think you're probably a little bit wrong. There are cultural considerations that every American force has had to deal with down through history. Our fighting men in the Philippines during the Spanish-American War, the way our armed forces conducted itself as an army of occupation in Japan, and certainly the way that our Marines and Army conducted themselves in South Vietnam, all had to do with cultural considerations. So while it is important to support our fighting women, it is also important, I think, to honor the tenets and the cultural norms of a society. And I guess I was just wondering what you thought about that.
Well, you know, you make a good point. All right, thank you very much. Yeah, you know what? I agree with that. Put on a veil, for God's sake. What is it with you women that you're in the armed forces all of a sudden? Oh, I see. Oh, I get it. So you're not supposed to do what people ask you to do. Is that it? I know your mothers and fathers raised you better than that.
Buck Negro on target.
1-800-449-8686. So I believe that our fighting women must wear those veils so as not to insult our Saudi hosts who have allowed our forces to occupy their land so as to keep the despots of the region, like Saddam Hussein, like the guy that runs Iran, all those people, in check.
A Buck Negro flashback.
Now, 2 weeks ago, I said on this program that our fighting men and women in Saudi Arabia should honor the tenets of that country. Put those veils on, lady. Put them on. And respect the country that you're over there defending. Okay, let's reset. 1-800-449-6666. Here's Billy. Billy, how you doing?
Hey, Buck.
Hi.
Hey, I think that we're over there defending that country. Our people ought to be able to do whatever they want. That's ridiculous. The women can't go out in the public without wearing a veil.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, thank you. They shouldn't have to wear a veil. They should not have to wear a veil. It's ridiculous. So I'm telling you right now, ladies, don't wear those veils. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Buck. I think that they should because we don't want to piss the Saudis off anymore. There's a big oil pipeline down there, and we really need to keep them on our side.
Why do you think that way?
Well, I just believe that it's important.
Okay. Yeah. That's right. Okay, now I know what I believe. You should wear a veil, okay? You should wear a veil.
Buck Negro on your side.
Buck Negro on your side. Send your questions to Buck Negro on your side, care of this radio station. Okay, yeah, no. I think you should wear... What did I say?
Back to the Phil Henry Show in moments. I'm Phil Henry talking funny.